girl in the streets like a G to mug. Don't worry, let's breeze the barn in case I ain't tell you those.
Wow, Ghost has been so consistent, man. I gotta give it 4 crescents just on that basis.
Ether Boy, Def Jam.
It's called She's a Killer.
Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
It's nothing special when them shots go down. You can catch one in the gut and go down. The silence is worth to muffle that sound. Snuck them tools and on the low down. Gangsters give it up. What? Big cups of goose, they fill it up. We stay
Philly stand up. Maurice from Philly says, peace at another great show. Thank you, Maurice. Mo, our Phillies are doing it. 5-5-0, baby. I'm going to rock the Phillies cap next week, I think. Cliff Lee, lights out.
Even fat girls get twisted in the pretzels. Tony Stark special.
She's a killer. She's a killer. She's a killer. Mommy is a killer. She's a killer. She's a killer.
All right, this is the final cut on the Ghost album. I would say you may not like the song, but you had to respect the gangsterness of it. This is called Back Like That. Kanye West, Neo. I want to make a point about how to properly place a rapper on a track. It was good to put this on this album. I like this.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, and the Black Coffee Channel.
I'm high power, but even men as sleep. Your pawn, that's been on my mind all week. But back to you, Matt Gloss, chick, your way thick. How you have everything in this world and waste it? Quince told me it'll be okay. I'm so sick like Neo say. I'm laid back like Neo, so I holler back at this Creole. She from the N.O., but she never
Mr. Black Power says, Mr. Ether Boy, Ron Brown's got ethered on Universal Motown. Ron Brown's was on that last track with Ghostface.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. And she conceded, she got a reason. She got a head in, she got a weave in. And I'ma sweat that out by the evening. You, I don't sweat that now, I got a new. Come through the block in a brand new band. Knowing that thing and this dude ain't brand. And what I did was whack, but you don't get your man back like that. Bouncing around with him up in these streets. Knowing that thing and this dude got beat. Yeah, what I did was right, but you don't get your man back like that, no.
Oh girl, I can't believe you zoned out. Play me for this dude, nice shoes in the bottle of Coast out. Mom, I'm that Don Wilson. First one to put you up 6 weeks in the resident Hilton. Mink coats, colorful stones and big stacks. Yeah, I was... She don't get me back like that, causing me grief. You know me and homie had beef. Now you got me losing.
There ain't nothing political or conscious about this song, but it sure is hot. You are tuned in to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
And you mad cause you played yourself. It's your fault, shit.
Come through the block in a brand new band. Knowing that thing and this dude ain't brand. Yeah, what I did was right, but you don't get your man back like that. Walking around with him up in these streets. Knowing that thing and this dude got.
I'm gonna let Ghost take us to commercial. Ghost Dini, Wizard of Poetry, and Emerald City, the new album. Go get it. I'm gonna talk about Mr. Magic when I come back.
Couple stars up in my sky. You was my moon and my sunshine. Dude ain't even fly, he just some guy. You played yourself, I'm done, please run. Come to the block in a brand new band. Knowing that thing and this dude ain't friends. Yeah, what I did was right, but you don't get your man back like that. Walking around with him up in these streets. Knowing that thing and
I like this. Well, I guess any guy would like this.
Yeah.
Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. It's a Stanley Clark right here. Love this song. I want to play for you. Any Stanley Clark fans out there, my father put me on to Stanley Clark. I want to read Mr. Magic's obituary from the New York Times. Let me put the cover of the Mr. Magic album that was most significant to me. Mr. Magic's Rap Attack Volume 2. There it goes right there. Now, I lived in Europe. My father, you all know, my father's in the Army, so I'm what you call an Army brat. So one of my best friends, Lee, to this day, my oldest childhood friend, he's from Petersburg, Virginia. We still hang out. We met when we were 8 years old. We used to get tapes sent to us from the States for all the new hip-hop. And it was Mr. Magic who would be featured. We weren't getting any Kiss FM. It wasn't, Red Alert wasn't popping like that. This is like early 80s. Mr. Magic, Super Duper. Splash. Remember that? So I never really liked Magic. Let me read you his obituary. Yeah, I'm saying something good about him and that I didn't like him. It was because he played his role. He was so good at what he did. I never liked Mr. Magic. But I love him now. Mr. Magic, disc jockey for early hip-hop, dies at 53. Mr. Magic, whose panache and persistence in bringing once-reviled rap to mainstream radio in the 1980s helped pave the way for the breakout of hip-hop culture, died on Friday in Brooklyn. He was 53. The cause was a heart attack, said Tyrone Williams, his manager and producer. Even that's a familiar name. Mr. Magic, born John Revis, was the first host on commercial radio to devote a program exclusively to rap. When his Rap Attack began broadcasting on WBLS FM in New York in April of 1983. So that was when I was in Germany. We used to get these tapes. Disco and funk were then fading, and rap was then emerging as a rebellious new art form in the streets, housing projects, and parks of New York City. Anyone, whether you into hip-hop or not, you have to know who Mr. Magic was. But many radio stations and music executives were wary of the frank explosiveness of the new music. Mr. Magic played a role similar to that of Alan Freed in popularizing rock and roll in the 1950s. Magic was the guy who carried a flag for the music on the radio, exactly as Freed had done for rock and roll, said Bill Adler, a former director of publicity for Def Jam Recordings. Mr. Magic looked the part of a rap impresario, wearing rings on every finger and gold rope chains. He favored a shark skin suit. In the 1970s, Mr. Magic was an itinerant disc jockey in Brooklyn, and a few small labels were starting to release rap records. He bought some late night time. Now listen to this. This is entrepreneurial. This is why I love Starbuck. While he also used public access television, though. So it says here, Mr. Magic bought some late night time on a New York public access radio station, WHBI, which is now WNWK, to broadcast the new music. WHBI, another big part of the hip-hop story. A few others were doing the same thing on that and other non-commercial stations. Mr. Williams said it was a lucrative concept. The station charged $75 an hour, and he and Mr. Magic charged advertisers $100 a minute. But their larger motive was to demonstrate a growing appetite for the music that created the culture of hip-hop, manifested in fashion, advertising, dance, and other fields. A following grew. Now, come on, y'all. I had to reread that. This is the entrepreneurial drive, the entrepreneurial secret of Mr. Magic. Mr. Magic bought some late night time on a New York public access radio station, WHBI, now WNWK, to broadcast the new music. A few others were doing the same thing on that and other non-commercial stations. Mr. Williams said it was a lucrative concept. The station charged $75 an hour, and he and Mr. Magic charged advertisers $100 a minute. But their larger motive was to demonstrate a growing appetite for the music that created the culture of hip-hop, manifested in fashion, advertising, dance, and other fields. A following grew. In no time at all, a star was born, went Magic's Wand, a 1982 song by the rap group Houdini. Mr. Magic's big breakthrough came when WBLS-FM, a large mainstream New York station, decided to take a chance on rap, starting in April of 1983. Soon, Mr. Magic was engaged in a spirited competition with a rap show on the station KISS-FM, hosted by a DJ who called himself Cool DJ Red Alert. Now, this is what set it up. Mr. Magic needed Red Alert, and Red Alert needed Mr. Magic, like Muhammad Ali needed Joe Frazier, and Joe Frazier needed Muhammad Ali. This is what set it up. The battle between WBLS and KISS FM, and Mr. Magic and Cool DJ Red Alert. And I remember, he used to call Cool DJ Red Alert the dirty man down the dial. Remember that? Molly, let's not talk about the dirty man down the dial. Now, I was on the side of Cool DJ Red Alert. This is why I didn't like Mr. Magic. Mr. Magic gathered a sort of hip-hop collective that included artists like Big Daddy Kane, Biz Markie, Roxanne, and Cool G Rap that was called the Juice Crew. And Mr. Magic was Sir Juice. Red Alert was affiliated with a rap group called Boogie Down Productions. Now, what is this? This is like the Four Horsemen. Crews. Your team. I mean, this is what it's all about. The Super Friends. Mr. Magic gathered a sort of hip-hop collective that included artists like Big Daddy Kane, Biz Markie, Roxanne, and Coogee Rap, and was called the Juice Crew. Mr. Magic was Sir Juice. Red Alert was affiliated with a rap group called Boogie Down Productions. The two sides staged elaborate battles, recording songs as insults to respond to taunts from the other side. The exchanges were wildly popular on and off the air. John Revis was born in the Bronx on March 15, 1956. In a 1995 interview with HipHopMusic.com, he called himself something of a hoodlum as a youth. But by the time he was in the early 20s, he had a van and was working as a mobile DJ. He also worked at an electronics store where he gave up incoming musicians' discounts on speakers. In her book, Rap Music and Street Consciousness, in 2002, Cheryl L. Keys wrote that WBLS assigned Mr. Williams, a sportscaster known as Fly Ty, to be Mr. Magic's manager. Mr. Marley was assigned to be his sound engineer, Marley Marl was assigned to be his sound engineer, but he soon came to be called the engineer all-star for his provocative mixing, what the three called the dirty basement sound. Now remember, people used to accuse Marley Marl of making tapes. So Magic used to say, slow it down, Marley. Let them know this is not a tape. Slow it down. Oh, man, those were the days. Together, the three toured the country to do what were often the first rap shows on many stations. Then they sent tapes by mail to the station so that they could do more shows. In 1985, KDAY in Redondo Beach, California. There's a Redondo Beach, California. KDAY, 1985. They became the first radio station in the country to adapt an all-rap format. Mr. Williams said that in 1984, WBLS wanted to abandon the rap show and offered Mr. Magic the chance to host a show playing softer music. If I stop playing, rap will die, Mr. Magic said, and he returned to WHBI. He came back to WBLS the next year and stayed until 1989. He then worked for WEBB in Baltimore until 1992, and in 2000 he left to work for WQHT in New York, a station known as Hot 97. For more than 6 years, he had been unable to get another show, Mr. Williams said. I watched Magic become sadder, thinner, and upset, he said. Mr. Williams said that at the time of his death, Mr. Magic was negotiating to return to WBLS. Mr. Magic was separated from his wife, Lisa Revis. He is also survived by his sons, John Jr. and Jabbar, and his daughter, Dominique Revis. Mr. Magic was often described as arrogant, although his on-air manner was smooth and warm. When he met Magic Johnson, the basketball great, he said, quote, the world is not big enough for two Magics. I mean, I'm sure other hip-hop publications could have done better obituaries, but I had to give it up. That was nice. The New York Times, very informative obituary of Mr. Magic. That was written by Douglas Martin. I read the whole thing. Man, he was young. 53 years old, he died. Heart attack. Friday, Mr. Magic. Ooh. If you have any Magic memories, a lot to point to in his example as an entrepreneur. I didn't know that Magic got started like that. Mr. Black Power wanted to say that Ghostface album sounds very good, a little, or very R&B-ish. I agree. I like it. Mr. Magic, man. Something I wanted to touch on. I have listeners in Dublin, Ireland. The Irish vote in favor of the EU, very important, and this is a lesson for the African Union. The Irish turned down the EU treaty last time out, but you may remember Nicolas Sarkozy, who was the EU president two terms ago, he was instrumental in lobbying Ireland, and the fact that Ireland's economy went down and the EU helped to bail out Ireland was a big factor in turning the sentiment or the attitude that was negative in Ireland towards the EU. This is what central governments can do to win people over. The African Union should take notes. Here we go.
Last year, 77% of Ireland's gross domestic product came in loans from the European Central Bank. Let's go straight to Al Jazeera's Jonah Hull, live for us in Dublin. Jonah.
Felicity, the opinion polls had indicated a big swing in support for the treaty ahead of the vote, and the result, not yet final, mind you, the results do appear to have borne that out. Last time the Irish voted no last year, the economy was good. They feared a threat to their national sovereignty from a European superstate. Well, this time the country is in deep economic crisis, and it does appear to have changed its mind. Before the count had finished, the result was clear, enough so for the Prime Minister to declare an Irish yes to the Lisbon Treaty.
Ireland is ready to grow and prosper. Today's vote will help us achieve a common aim, a prosperous, productive and forward-looking Ireland. We will now apply ourselves to achieving that with imagination, determination and courage.
It's a result that surprises few in a contest that might have been far closer, but for one thing, Ireland's disastrous economic collapse.
I voted yes this time. Last time I voted no, but I think that with the economic situation, I just think it's important to vote yes.
Inside Dublin Castle, the flags of the 27 member nations of the European Union. Ireland is proudly one of them, happy to have benefited from EU subsidies when the boom economy was in full flight, in need now of EU support to cushion a hard landing.
Yes for Lisbon just means that Ireland is going to be mainstreamed back into Europe and into the policy making of Europe.
A yes to Lisbon also means the EU reform treaty will almost certainly go ahead, aimed at making the European Union more efficient by adding weight to centralised power in Brussels.
Thank you, Ireland. It's a great day for Ireland. It's a great day for Europe. The Irish people have spoken and they have said a resounding yes to Europe.
Still holding out are Poland and the Czech Republic, both expected to ratify the treaty following the Irish result. Lisbon also creates at least one new job, that of President of the European Council, elected by all 27 leaders, in effect President of Europe. It could be filled as soon as the end of this month, with one name being touted as the favorite, Tony Blair.
Now, the equivalent with the African Union is obviously Brother Gaddafi. Many people believe Brother Gaddafi wants to be president of Africa, the president of the African Union, with Tony Blair looking to run for the presidency of the EU.
Former British Prime Minister, it would be a spectacular return to the world stage for a man who resigned the premiership of his own country. The focus then will shift swiftly away from Ireland, the only country to have actually voted on the treaty, and it did so twice. With the EU's second highest rate of unemployment and with tax hikes and public spending cuts to come, this was not the time to say no to Europe again. Well, a clear sense of relief there from Brussels, and of course a big change here in Ireland. To make some sense of it all, I'm joined by Déaglann de Bredon, the political
political chief of the Irish Times, I beg your pardon, Deglun. No real surprise this really, was it, the vote?
Well, it is. The size of it is a surprise, and I have to say that the pro-Lisbon campaigners were really quite nervous up until the very end. I don't think they were expecting anything like this scale of a victory. In fact, some of them were really quite nervous that they would lose again.
Among them the government, of course, which has staked so much on a yes vote this time round.
Oh, the consequences of a no vote would have been very serious for the government, because they're already extremely unpopular because of the economic crisis and because of the perception of the way they have handled it and the perception that they have contributed to causing it. So it would have been a very bad bit of news for the government and indeed for the whole political system, most of which was supporting the treaty.
Now, the result, of course, isn't final, but the figures as we currently know them do seem unassailable. So let's move on for a second into this idea of the Lisbon Treaty. Among the European nations, small nations like Ireland and others may still worry for their sovereignty in this European superstate. Is that still a valid concern?
Well, they haven't had a chance to do a referendum on it. Because of our constitutional situation, we have to have referendums on European treaties. Obviously, the president of the Czech Republic, Václav Klaus, still has to sign the treaty, and the no campaigners here are kind of clutching at straws, hoping that he will delay long enough so that when David Cameron gets in, as expected, if he gets in, he will have a referendum and that they will still defeat the Lisbon Treaty. But that seems a bit of a long shot at the moment.
Well, that'll be for another day. In the meantime, of course, the spotlight shifts away from Ireland to Brussels, but of course leaving Ireland with some quite serious economic problems to deal with.
We have massive economic problems, probably more serious than most other advanced countries. And the government, as I said, it's not popular, it's very low in the opinion polls. It's a coalition that's not terribly stable. The minor party, the Green Party, is having difficulties internally. And also there's a budget coming up in December which is expected to be extremely harsh, and will have to be harsh if it's to deal with the problems that we face. But who is it going to be harsh against? That's the question.
Deglun, thank you.
Thank you very
Some
much.
Analysis there from the political correspondent of the Irish Times.
I want to thank you for a great show. October 7, 2009. My book, The Entrepreneurial Secret book series, is out. Go spread the word if you think it's worthy of it. Look forward to getting feedback from you all that are purchasing it. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, it's available. The eSecret.com is the official book website. TheEsecret. Can't spell secret. The eSecret. That's what happens at hour number 5. Philly's got this thing on lock, 5-0. I may rock a Philly's cap next week. Talk soon.
Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Radio Program.
Come on, check it out with me.
Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Radio Program.
Come on, check it out with me.